Just a few announcements before we begin. There is a free lunch being served after the service. Everybody is welcome to stay for that. I'm sure there'll be plenty. A message from Joe and Abby. They are marrying in the chapel on Saturday at 12:30. And anybody here is welcome to come and attend the service if you'd like to do so. 12:30. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Let's sing together a couple of times, 307. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in the heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Amen. Do be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Christian has so much to be glad for, to be joyful for. Lord, you give us joy in our hearts, but Lord, we have so much to look forward to. We thank you, Lord, that we are a people with a hope and a people with a purpose, a people with a future. We may have a past, but that is behind us and is no longer relevant. So, Lord, we thank you that this is the day that you have made, that we can enter your courts and your gates with joy and with thanksgiving. And Lord, the many people have reason to be downcast and sad, and yet we have a reason to look up. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that our worship might be acceptable to you. We pray, Lord, that you will delight in our meeting and we might delight in your company. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's sing 564. Thank you.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near. Praise Him in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen all that is needful had been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with His love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again. Gladly for we adore Him.
Amen. Amen. Let's turn now to God's Word. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to follow, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 8. And the first four verses of that eighth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew is named after the author, and he wrote a biography of Jesus, and this is the eighth chapter of it. Verse 1 of Matthew chapter 8. When He had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Then Jesus put out His hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Amen. Four simple verses there, and yet loaded with divine truth. So we're given a little bit of context by Matthew. He says, when He had come down from the mountain. Now, chapter 8 follows what is traditionally called the Sermon on the Mount. A whole great body of wonderful teaching on how we ought to live. And I think he went around Judea teaching it. In Luke, he teaches it on a plain. Here, on a mountain, perhaps symbolizing to those Jews who came to hear him, he is a new and greater Moses, teaching God's law, teaching God's truth on this mountain. And great multitudes are following him. Can they catch a little more? It really is a busy scene. Is it the end of a long day? Possibly. But there is a great deal of commotion. And maybe people are asking him questions about what he said before, asking him to clarify and to elaborate. And then in verse 2, something rather scandalous occurs. A leper came. Now, leprosy was and is a dreadful condition. Some scholars say that the leprosy in the Middle East 2,000 years ago is perhaps different to what we now call leprosy. Be that as it may, I wouldn't want to catch either. But the leper was forbidden to be among other people. He had to call out, unclean, to give you, who were perfectly clean, of course, the opportunity to give him a wide berth. He should only come out when it's quiet and there's no one there. He is an outcast. If he gets too close to you, he will contaminate you. He should not have been in that crowd. In fact, he's fortunate the crowd never stoned him. He was a threat to them. And yet, presumably, he's been hearing the Lord Jesus teach. Why would he come to him now, coming down the mountain, unless he understood the authority with which he was teaching? Why have the crowd not stoned him or got upset? I'll tell you why. When you focus upon Jesus, you aren't troubled by other people's faults. You're concerned with your own and how you can be right with him. Behold, a leper came and worshipped him. Now, I don't know what the multitude are doing. I think they're asking questions, they're following. Some of them may just be going home in the same direction. But he worshipped him. I put it to you that though the multitude is interested in what he has to say, most of them have not understood or recognized who he truly is. But one man that day did. And it was the leper. His body is sore and painful. His social life does not exist. But spiritually, he's wiser than most others there that day. I'm not suggesting that leprosy made him wise, but I do think that affliction, trial, and difficulty increases our spiritual line of sight. Spiritually speaking, we can often see clearer through tears. And I wonder if this man, who had no one else in the world, or if he had lost them. His life surely won't get any better. It will get worse. The leprosy is going to spread and cover more of his body. He will die a leper. Here is a man seemingly without hope. But in chapter 8, he meets hope incarnate. In chapter 8, he meets the source of all life. The other folk coming down the mountain may have thought, goodness me, we have a prophet in our midst, and they would have been right. Or, goodness me, what a wise fellow. I could listen to him all night. But this one realizes that the one walking amidst the crowd is worthy of worship. What mere man could interpret the law unless he wrote it? Who could set such a high ethical standard in that Sermon on the Mount unless he were not himself able to live it? Notice also, before he comes with any requests, he worships him first. You are Lord and you are God, whether I get anything from it or not. It's not a case of, do me a miracle and then I'll believe in you. Others said that to him. Not this fellow. He worshipped him. I think as he walked along, he positioned himself. And at Jesus' approach, he prostrated himself. He said to him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. How significant is the word Lord? It was used as a general address out of politeness, much as we might say, sir. But it was also spoken to princes and also of God himself. So I'm not quite clear how he means it. The fact that he is worshipping him, I think he really is addressing him as the Lord of Lords, the Lord of life. The healthy do not recognize him. This dying man knows who he is. There are many in our world who are very well educated, many degrees and letters after their names. And I know other people who can barely write their own name. But because they know the Lord Jesus and they live for him, let me tell you, they are wiser than every university faculty put together, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. He may be unpleasant to look at, but he's wise. Wisdom called out in the street, and he heeded. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Not only does he call him Lord and worship him, neither does he doubt his ability to grant the request. If you are willing to do it, you can do it. I imagine there was some time before he contracted the condition when he went to doctors. But the question to them was, if you are able. And they weren't. And we know elsewhere, the woman who was bleeding, who touched him, she had spent all her money on doctors. This man has either done the same thing or he had no money to begin with. Doctors back then were more adept at taking payments than they were at doing anything in return. Some of them were simple charlatans, others simply had not the knowledge. He knows he's able. The question is he willing? You have all power. Getting rid of my leprosy, I know you are able to do that. But Lord, are you willing to do it? Are you prepared to do it? Will you condescend to do it? Of course, the term there is, you can make me clean. He is referring to the leprosy. The leprous condition was considered to be one of uncleanness. And in the Mosaic Law, in the 13th of Leviticus, we are told the reasons why it is an unclean disease. It spreads. And often in the Bible, I think in Isaiah chapter 1, off the top of my head, I think it's used as a metaphor, a picture for sin. And if you picture this man probably wearing dirty rags and quite possibly covering up those parts of his body which might cause you to retch, it might be his face is covered in pus, and there's, let me tell you this. In your natural state, you are far more offensive to a righteous God than this leper would be to anyone around him. Sin, rebellion against God, it, like leprosy, it spreads like contagion. It causes us to isolate, and eventually it kills. Romans says that the wages of sin is death. We die in our iniquity. Each one of us is born terminally ill. Physically, we are definitely going to die, but spiritually speaking, we are dead and dying. Also in Leviticus 13, the garments of the leper are only fit for the fire. We don't like the doctrine of hell. But then we tend to underestimate the gravity and the horror of sin. We're more generous in estimating other people's sin. When it comes to our own, we reckon ourselves rather good, but by God's standard, each one of us is corrupted and ruined. Some people's corruption is obvious. They have long criminal records and they're in jail. But there are sins like pride and gossip and envy and blasphemy, for which you'll warrant no criminal record. No court will be interested. But God is appalled by them. I'm righteous, I'm good, I'm better than other people. Such words can only be spoken by the most hideous of spiritual lepers. If you are willing, I can be cleansed. You can make me clean. And if leprosy is a picture of sin, this is a picture of someone coming to Jesus in order to be saved. And when you become a Christian, and let me assure you, nobody is born one. Don't think anyone believes anymore. We live in a Christian country. But even if somebody is baptized as a child or an adult. They have a Bible on the shelf. And they put a tree up in December. You know, lovely. It makes you no Christian, I'm afraid. Christianity is something of the heart. It's having a relationship with God through his Son. And you become a Christian not by going on pilgrimages and the church cleaning rota, but by doing exactly what this man does here. This is like a picture lesson for us. First of all, he understands that he is a leper. He doesn't pretend he's not. He understands who Jesus truly is. More than the prophet, more than the founder of a world religion, but God himself in human form. And he acknowledges that and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. In other words, I am not clean. I acknowledge that, Lord. You are clean and you can make me clean. But Lord, are you willing that I be clean? I have come across people from time to time who say, oh, he'd never accept me. You see, they're assuming that God is on the lookout for good people. But there's a problem with that. There aren't any. So if he is, heaven will be a very quiet place. Rather, he's looking for people like the leper. Those who are prepared to come to him. Because whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. He's not willing that any should perish. The irony is that there are possibly hundreds of people there that day who could have done the same thing, but they never felt the need. They may have done it later on, who knows? But not only is this fellow being spoken of thousands of years later, but I think we know where he is right now. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Verse 3 says, Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Now, there is a parallel version of this in Mark's gospel, this time in chapter 1. Mark doesn't include the Sermon on the Mount. He's a man in a hurry. So here's the same story, but Mark adds a detail or two, which Matthew doesn't include. So, Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Verse 41, before it says he stretched out his hand and touched him, Mark says, then Jesus moved with compassion. Mark supplies a motive. Matthew simply records the facts. So when he saw the leper kneeling and prostrate before him, the Lord Jesus had compassion. I imagine most in that crowd had no compassion. And they were probably muttering to each other, what's he doing here? In fact, they were all probably standing back, which was better because it allowed more people to watch. But he had compassion on them. There is a wonderful word in the Bible called grace. And grace simply means undeserved kindness. I know I use this illustration a few times, but my employer paid me on Friday. That payment was not a token of his grace towards me. I earned it. Grace is giving something good to somebody who does not deserve it. Does the leper deserve to be healed? Well, he doesn't deserve to be kicked about like he might otherwise have been. But I'm not sure he deserves to be healed. I might feel sorry for him, but what does he deserve? Nothing. Jesus heals him despite the fact he does not deserve anything. Compassion. And that is why today the Lord Jesus still saves people who come to him. You can't physically, well, you can physically kneel down, but he's not there in front of you in a body. But by his Spirit, he hears you. And you could go home or after the service today, you could pray to him and say, Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse my soul. And he will have the same compassion on you as he had on that leper that day all those years ago. How do I know? Because he cannot change. We change. She's in a good mood, she's in a bad mood. He's having a good day, he's having a bad day. Oh, I'll ask tomorrow. I won't approach him now. God is not like that. He changeth not. Yesterday, today, forever, he is the same. He has compassion on people when they come to him. Some people came to him with their flowing robes and their hearts full of pride. And he gave them the verbal drubbing of a lifetime. But not him. Some in the crowd would have said, well, he deserved it. Some in the crowd would have said, well, it's got to happen to somebody. Just happened to be him. Bad luck. Some in the crowd may have carried on walking. They'd heard a lovely, interesting sermon, and they were mulling it over. But he had compassion. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. If it was scandalous that the leper was there to begin with, it's equally scandalous that a non-leprous man should reach out and touch a leprous man. Surely it will transmit. Well, it didn't. And yet there is a wonderful picture there. There is a wonderful picture there. The leper is full of corruption and ill health. The Lord Jesus is pure and physically, as far as I can tell, physically healthy. It's as though Jesus takes the leprosy from him and passes to him all his goodness and his health. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul writes, the Lord Jesus became sin for us. A wonderful thing happened when Jesus died upon the cross. Quite some time after this account happens, he died upon the cross. Everyone throughout all history, including people alive today, when they come to him and ask for forgiveness, this is what happens. Their sin, their filth, their spiritual leprosy went into him. His goodness, his purity, his righteousness went the other way and was reckoned as theirs. What an exchange. What a bargain. So, have I got this right? I've done all those bad things, but he gets all the blame. That's right. That's right. And he lived the perfect life, and I get all the benefit. Really? Yep. That is called the gospel. And that's why I'm a Christian. Because I could not heal myself. But there was one who, quite a number of years ago now, and I literally knelt down by my bed and, using very childlike expressions, I must say, I asked him to cleanse me. And he did. There was no physical change in me. There was a physical change in this man. But my leprosy was worse than his. The leprosy I had was attached to my soul. He stretches out and touches him. He said, "I am willing." Now, we might read this and go, "Well, of course he was willing. It was Jesus." It's towards the start of his ministry. This leper never went to Sunday school. He never coloured in the pictures. There are other rabbis and teachers in Galilee who would have told him where to go. Others would have looked at him and had a discussion with their peers and said, "I wonder if it was he who sinned or his parents before him. Who's being punished for that leprosy? Good question." And they would have talked about it, leaving him there in the road. This one is different. He stretches out his hand and touches him and says, "I am willing. I am his creator. He's willing to recreate that body." And when I became a Christian, my creator was willing to recreate my spirit. I became a new creation. The old went, the new came. On the 31st of December, do you say, "Oh, I need a new start. I'm going to start over. I'll be different this time"? But you never are. Only Jesus can change those who come to him. DIY doesn't work. If this man could have cured himself, don't you think he would have done it? By coming to Jesus, he is acknowledging there is nothing he can do. He offers him no money. The doctors have taken it. He offers him no physical work. He can't do it. In fact, he offers him nothing at all. And I put it to you, if he had tried, Jesus would have kept on walking. "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die." You try and impress God with all the good things you've done, and you will insult him to the core. You come to him with nothing, and he will give you everything. It's called grace. It's a good word to know. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. This is a genuine miracle. There's no, well, the leprosy's still there, but I feel a bit of a tinging sensation. And he was healed straight away. And those crowds who were muttering, I think they're now gasping. It worked. And when you come to Jesus and ask him to cleanse you and to heal you, it works. I lose track of how many people are alive in the world. There is a website I think you can go on, and it takes off the death rate and adds on the birth rate, and the figure is very large. But statistically, I'm pretty sure that during the time I've been preaching, there are people over the globe who've come to Jesus and cried out to him, and they have been cleansed. They gave him nothing. They offered him nothing. They deserve nothing. But upon them, he had compassion. And now they have everything. They are richer than the richest billionaire, because they inherit a prize which can neither fade nor be corrupted, nor stolen nor rust. Jesus said to him, verse 4, "See that you tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now, again, if we look at Mark's parallel passage, we find that the ex-leper actually disobeyed. However, verse 45, he went out and began to proclaim it freely. Not entirely sure how to interpret that. One commentator says the Lord told him to be quiet, and he told everyone. He tells us to tell everyone and we keep quiet. Make of it what you will. I think the Lord was concerned that he did not want to create a miracle culture. We come to Jesus because of the wonderful fireworks we'll see, the entertainment brigade. He did not want that. And what happened, I think, is that he had to relocate from the towns and go into a deserted place. The people still came. If anything, telling people brought more people to Jesus, but he had to go out into the desert. A slight inconvenience there. I think Matthew's emphasis is that he mustn't tell anyone until the priest has verified it, as according to the law of Moses. It looks like he's been healed, but the law states that the priest must consider it. And if we look briefly at Leviticus 14. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds." Okay, it gets quite strange here. You'd expect the priest to go, "Yep, it's genuine. Welcome back." "The priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And as for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedarwood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean." Notice here the leper has already been made clean. Now he is being pronounced clean. In the gospel, it's the other way around. When you come to Jesus, you are pronounced as being clean. You are declared righteous. And then the Holy Spirit, working in your heart, makes you righteous. In my case, gradually, slowly, but surely. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in the water, that he may be clean. After that he shall come into the camp, and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day he shall shave all the hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows. All his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes, and wash his body in the water, and he shall be clean. And then he's allowed to come back after more sacrifice. Are you thinking that's quite a palaver? That presumably is what the priest would have done with this man. I will be closing soon, but it's significant that Matthew says the Lord Jesus told him to show himself to the priest, offer the gift. We've just read that. That Moses commanded as a testimony to them. There are two reasons for it. Number one, Jesus is not just another charlatan. Fake miracles that can't be verified. There are plenty of those around. This will be validated by a priest who's either never heard of him or may even dislike him. But did not Leviticus say take two birds? One will be killed, having been placed in an earthen vessel. The other will have the blood sprinkled on it and will be released. Gosh, what does that remind me of? I can see some smiles on your faces. We have some theologians in here. Or do we just have the people of God who know the gospel when they read it, even in the book of Leviticus? Jesus Christ, who came to this world, the glorious God of heaven, in a vessel of clay. He died upon that cross that the other might go free. The picture here is that he cleanses the leprosy. He touches the leper. He has, according to all those around him, himself contracted the leprosy. And the man has contracted his purity. There's that exchange again. There's that exchange again. One bird flies free, having been sprinkled with the bird of the other. Here, a leper walks away clean, having first contaminated one without leprosy. And what Moses in Leviticus was seeing from afar, and what the leper here saw with his own eyes, is the gospel that we preach from this pulpit and from the Bible. If you have sin and guilt and shame, and you have. If you think you haven't, you can add pride to the list for free. You can come to him and he will cleanse you as he cleansed that leper. Is he willing? I am willing. Is he able? I am able. And he sent him on his way. Let me make one final point, indulge me. At the beginning of verse 2, the beholding in the New King James Version, that was hard for the leper. He had to get into that crowd. He had to approach one so clean and pure and holy, yet there he was in his shame and his corruption. What a contrast. But in his divinely inspired boldness, he was cleansed. And there are people today for whom coming to Jesus is costly and it's difficult. There are people who are brought up in other religions and other faiths, and coming to him is costly and painful. There are people at your place of work or your school or your club who they will laugh at you. They'll try and shame you. They'll ridicule you. But the leper came. And I pray this morning, if you look at him and can see yourself, look also now to Jesus. Look unto him and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. Look at him and live. We'll sing a song together, we'll have a time of reflection, and then we'll close. 590.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened up to you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Amen. Let's have a time of open prayer. Perhaps somebody would read from the scriptures, and then we'll close.
Father, like the leper, I would worship in spirit and truth. Lord, I would love to hear and say, Lord, I would love to hear the word of Christ. I love to hear his compassion. I love to hear his authority. Oh Lord, grant me a true spirit of worship that I can truly worship him.
Amen.
My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path.
Amen.
Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened.
Amen.
Amen.
My Jesus, though you did not say, though there is no sin in you, though you knew no sin, you were willing to contract my sin, and made the divine exchange of the cross, and made me the righteousness of God in Christ. Father, I thank you for your grace in my life.
Amen. Amen.
Father God, we have so much to thank you for, so much to worship you for, and so much to praise you for. And may our praise and our worship be never ending, that our hearts are set and inclined towards you. That we know that we are not worthy, but in Christ you have given us everything we need for life and for godliness. That Father, you are changing and transforming us, and not because of anything we do, but because when we love you, when we turn to you, when we surrender to you, when we give ourselves unto you, that Father God, that begins a work in us. And that Father, through that love, through that relationship we have with you, we want to honor you, we want to serve and praise and worship you. But Father, you make that so easy because you are so well. And we praise you for Jesus Christ, for his compassion, for the grace that we find within him. And that, Father, we just thank you and praise you that you made a way, that whilst we were still sinners, you gave your son, and that he would die for us. We thank you and we praise you for the gospel, for the good news that sets us free and allows us to live in relationship with you, to be right with you. Oh Father, we praise you. And we come and we worship you as the true, living Creator, Sovereign God. We thank you for your Son and everything we have in him and through him. And we thank you and we praise you in his name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we do thank you for the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to make that leper long ago clean. But thank you that still today he says, I am willing, be clean. Father, we thank you that we come together on the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his blood was indeed shed and has been sprinkled, as it were, on us, that our sins and our iniquities, he remembers no more because they've been washed away. We thank you that the inner uncleanness has been dealt with as well as the outer uncleanness. We thank you for the gift of righteousness that in your sight we are seen as righteous. That's an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. Our sins laid on him, his righteousness laid on us. And we thank you, Father, that he was willing to go to the cross that we might be made clean. We bless you for it. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Three, one, five.
Thank you.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left the realms of glory for the cross on Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with his saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Raise me up and gently led me back into the narrow way. Days of darkness still may meet me, sorrow's path I oft may tread. But his presence still is with me, by his guiding hand I'm led. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over, made by grace for glory be. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Lord, I pray your blessing on all here today. And if any know you not, Lord, I pray that you will urge them now, in their heart and in their spirit, to come to you. Those who are heavily laden, who are burdened with iniquity, who are dying of sin. O Lord, we know that you are willing. Cleanse them now. In Jesus' name. Amen.